There are so many animals that are affected by the drought, and we're very worried about it.
Allison Hermance works for WildCare, the San Rafael-based nonprofit that cares and advocates for wildlife around our region. Right now, they're bracing for the consequences of a shortage of water in the natural environment, which is expected to trigger a basic Darwinian struggle for survival.
In a situation where everybody's stressed, the stronger animals are going to come out ahead. Whether it's a stronger animal of a different species or just the biggest raccoon, you are going to have aggression and you're going to have larger animals beating up and overcoming smaller animals. So you are going to see some more of the top predators coming in because they're going to be looking for food and water too, and they're going to be drawn to areas where there are a conglomeration of prey animals.
Drought affects the entire food web almost equally, Hermance says, but the earliest impacts begin at the low end, generally below human notice.
The smallest plants are going to be affected by the drought first. So the smallest plants produce seeds, which feed rodents. Rodents feed just about everybody in our environment. All the animals that are predators pretty much survive on rodents. So fewer plants means fewer rodents. Fewer rodents means less food, which means it's going to affect everybody.
Everybody also includes insects, which can create food shortages for bats, some amphibians, and birds. Hermance is especially worried about migrating songbirds.
We have a large number of different species of songbirds that migrate to the Bay Area to have their babies. They eat bugs, and that's what they feed their babies as well. Fewer plants, less water, all of that's going to lead to smaller populations of insects, which means less for those animals to eat. And we think about the cliff swallows, the barn swallows that come thousands of miles on their migration, and they're going to get here and there's nothing to eat.
One thing birds don't have to worry about much is cars. But for animals that don't fly, fast-moving vehicles are a heightened hazard when they have to travel farther than usual to find a water source.
You're going to start seeing more animals around in general because they're going to have to go farther and do different things in order to find food and water. Normally, you have your deer that has a certain range, and all of a sudden, he can't find water or food in the normal areas that he traverses. He's going to end up having to cross roads. He's going to end up having to come through your backyard. He's going to have to move around a lot more in order to get what he needs.
As humans, we can exercise some control over the availability of water around us. That's a mixed blessing for the animals nearby.
The animals that are least likely to be affected are going to be the ones that are the most successful at surviving with humans, because a lot of people are going to keep watering their garden. So I think any animal that's more comfortable with people is going to be able to survive a little better. Like the raccoons, the crows are another good example.
Squirrels too, but mostly the bolder non-native species in this area. That's an imbalance that may well persist years after the drought has passed. And Hermance notes that it may take years as well for other predator-prey relationships to return to normal.
A rat or a mouse is going to have a litter of 5, 6, 7 babies. Coyotes probably going to have 1 or 2, and that tends to be consistent. The prey species reproduce much more quickly, rabbits, for instance. But your bobcat's going to have 1 kit, maybe 2, in the next couple of seasons. So you do have the prey species coming back much more quickly.
Yes, this pattern is part of the normal life cycle for the area's wildlife, but it's distorted to extremes by extreme weather conditions. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.